Okay, start with that.
Told you.
No, go on. No. Yeah, but you're the.
Enough of We're talking with Babe Ruth. Several of the members.
Greetings, Babe Ruth. Greetings.
Hope your innards are working well.
And we have Jenny here.
Yeah.
And
Alan.
Ed.
And Chris.
You're the guitarist.
Yeah.
Dave's in on the drum. Upstairs in his room with the back.
Singles his apologies.
And you're in Chicago just for one night, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Just
tonight. Yeah, it is, because there's so much to see.
Yeah. Yeah. Thinking of coming back?
I hope so, yeah. Should be nice.
How's the acceptance been through the States?
Very encouraging. Pretty good. Most of the players have been very surprised, you know, how they've accepted it. But some of the three dog gates have been a bit weird.
Yeah.
Because the audience is very young. And they're sort of, they're a bit surprised when they see Jenny shoving the microphone between her legs and all that.
They come down to see three guys, you know. And I think at first they find it a little bit difficult to sort of give sort of a female anything, because they've really come down not so much for the music, but to sort of see three guys, you know. It's like seeing a film star, same sort of thing.
Yeah, well, it's
an adulation thing, and we're sort of a musical band, really. Not
right.
Saying that Three Dog Night are not a musical band. We're a musical band, and I think they find it a bit difficult at first.
Different type of music.
Well, it's more as younger children looking at
they've come to adore.
The day, you know, like, you know, like Danny. Favorite band, you know.
Oh God!
God, I just love Three Dog Night. You know, which is fine. You know, some of the numbers have been incredible, but the capacity of the audiences, as I say, are very young. So when we play what we play, I don't think that they quite fully understand.
Mm-hmm.
But
what we're trying to do.
The Mott the Hoople audiences are much better.
Yeah.
You know, they were fantastic, really good. I mean, we did a date with Mott the Hoople in Indianapolis. And that was very good, you know, incredible reception.
Oh, it's frightening, the audiences. That's one of the audiences were just right there. I couldn't believe it. It just frightened me. I'm petrified when I go out there.
They find the difference between
amazing.
Difference between audiences in America is they've got no inhibitions. You know, they just will go out to enjoy themselves and they rave it up. And it's good for the groups, you know, because the groups like to see a reaction, obviously. Otherwise, you know, you don't get any inspiration to play. If you see a really good audience out in front of you there, waiting for it, you know, you really play to them, give it to them.
That's how many pieces are you traveling with in the band?
Five.
You have horn players?
Huh?
You have a horn player with you?
No. We just have for basic five.
Uh-huh. Keyboard?
Yeah, it's Chris's keyboard, Ed, drummer, Dave's bass. Yeah, it's that sort of basic five lineup.
The horn players on the album were just studio musicians?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we've got
just
made for a good sound.
We've got a hell of a lot of friends, you know,
mm-hmm.
in Britain who like to play with a band. We're hoping to sometime or another bring some on the road with us when we can get you know, when we get a little bit bigger. Yeah, and the finances going well, maybe we can bring a few on, you know. Especially also percussion things as well,
mm-hmm.
you know, congas and things like this. Could be very good.
There's quite an active scene going on in London of sort of musicians that come round, friends, and like a session can turn into a bit of a party sometimes.
Uh-huh.
Friends come down, and they come down specifically maybe to someone at the door. They come down specifically originally to do a sort of a piece that we want them to play on the album, and they finish up participating. Like we've got a conga player down. And we finished up getting him singing.
Yeah.
In fact, nearly everyone that's come down to put something on our album for us has finished up becoming part of it.
This is the second album they're talking about now.
Yeah, we're talking about the second.
Second album's coming out in January here.
It's already recorded?
Yeah, it's all
finished.
They're just finishing off the
cover.
What
kind of tunes
would
you
Well, it's very, some of it's fairly Spanish influenced.
Uh-huh.
We did a thing like that on the last one for the Mexican.
Right. Is that from a few dollars more?
Yeah, that's right, from the film. There's no more film themes on this, but we've written it mostly ourselves. Well, all of it ourselves, except for one. And a lot of the numbers are shorter on this, you know. They're a little bit shorter. All the last one, they were sort of like, a bit like what you could call an epic. Each one was an ending number, if you like, you know. But this is a sort of more compact thing, shorter numbers.
Mexican was in the top 10 in Brazil.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it got to number 3 or something.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Something like that. Should have heard that all sort of made us laugh. Because we've had visions of going over there and doing the football stadiums and all this business. You know, that's all you can do when you go to Brazil.
Have any plans of going there?
Well, no. There was a big uproar at one time. They got millions of phone calls into Britain saying, oh, you're going to be number one in the charts in Brazil. And come over quickly, but we never did, because, take this plane to Cuba.
You toured other places in Europe besides England?
No, we're going to go to Europe next year sometime, I think. You know, we basically, well, last year we had a couple of changes, Ed and Chris, the new members in the band.
Mm-hmm.
The other two guys left due to musical differences. And Dave, the old pianist now, is a follower of the Guru, what is it?
Guru Maharaj.
Yeah, he's a follower of that now, you know. And, well, they split anyway, and we had Ed and Chris and new people, and the band has taken a new light, you know.
Yeah.
The actual, I think it's actually got more rhythmic since that's happened. Because Ed is very sort of Latin influenced, I think, in a lot of his drumming, you know, and things. So we've cashed in on that. Good old Spivvy. And, Chris likes the bar.
Yeah, he's a member of the bar.
And, unfortunately, last June we had a car crash in England, which put us back a little bit. You know, we were right in the middle of recording the new album then. It would have been out a lot sooner if we hadn't have had this crash. But it put us back about 6 weeks, and of course all the studio time got, you know, messed up, and we couldn't get in. It was a shame, really, because, you know, we could have had the album out a lot sooner in both countries, here in England. Probably when we came here on this tour, it would have been out for this tour, which is a shame. But it's all finished now, and it should be hopefully out in January, early January. So we're hoping that's on. But, the live thing is going great in the States, you know. It's great. It's very good.
It's lifted us up to another level as well, we feel, sort of, as far as communicating. When we go out now, you know, there seems to be a whole lot more to play for, really. I mean, not putting down British audiences, but they do have a tendency to be very sort of reserved, conservative.
Yeah.
They have to read in the papers what to do next, instead of playing it by ear, like, you know, it seems to be over this country. I mean, we're newcomers, it's our first tour. Yeah, some places we've really been greeted like we've come back for the sixth time or something, which is incredible. I mean, if you can put yourself in our position, you can realise that. And it sort of hits us when we come out on the stage, and there are people there really going overboard before we even start, you know. And so automatically there's a mental thing that we're going to play our asses off for these people if it kills us, you know.
Yeah.
And I know that when we go back to England, we're going to be a different band, you know. We're going to have so much more that we've sort of drawn from this country, which is incredible.
They're hoping to bring up another tour next year after when the new album comes out as well, because we're really all looking forward to getting back doing the places where we've played before, and that should be around about mid-February sometime.
Good. Like to see you in Chicago in a bigger place.
Yeah,
where
right.
More people can get to see
it.
Hopefully
next time.
Another thing is, you know, I mean, just the everyday people we've met all over America have really knocked us out, you know. I mean, anyone who's got any prejudices against any American people in our country, all I'm saying to them is they should come over here first before they make any such statements.
Yeah.
Because
right.
We learn a lot, really.
You hear things before you come out here about what it's going to be like, you know, but we're drawing our own conclusions from being here. You know, finding it a lot is just not like that. It's a lot better than expected.
I mean, the way people sort of accept their sort of positions in life, you know, like a guy's a waiter, you know, and so he sort of still manages to have a sort of smile on his face as if there's nothing wrong with being a waiter, you know, like in England, like, oh Christ, you get a smile out of a waiter, boy, you're really doing well. But over here, you know, they actually come up and ask you how your meal is, which is like incredible. Like, in England, it's if you don't like it, get out. That's not true.
What are your musical backgrounds like?
Oh, well, I've been in a band since I was 11.
Mm-hmm.
I was at a school band and everything, and all that crap, you know. And when I went to music college when I was 18, I was 21, and I formed Babe Ruth after that sort of startings of, you know.
Uh-huh.
After I left college and I had a lot of ideas about musical things, you know, rock idiom, you know. So we tried them out with a sort of four-piece band where I was taking the lead singing, but it got a bit all heavy, and I wanted to spend more time on guitar, so I decided to get a lead singer, you know. We sort of auditioned about 70 men, and Jenny came along with the men, and she blew us all out, you know, incredible. I couldn't believe it, all this dancing as well, you know.
Uh-huh.
Cartwheels and things. Great, so we, you know, from there on we went into, that was about May 72, and then from June 72 we did the first album. Went on to September, then after that we went on the road, you know, the album came out. Very, very pleased with the first album, for, you know, first effort. Seemed to turn out very well, we were all quite pleased with it. Got some very good reviews in England, which surprised us all, you know.
Uh-huh.
Great.
There's a lot of different music on there.
Oh yeah, no. It's a lot of, I think
Zappa tune.
Yeah, sure. We're all,
Jesse Winchester.
We're all very into Zappa. Jesse Winchester's a favourite, great favourite. Very good. Jesse's sort of one of the new things that's come up, which has been worth listening to, I think.
Uh-huh.
And obviously Zappa.
People just want to catch on.
Yeah.
It's such a novel thing. Just really great is his music in itself. It's funny, you know, because I sing all the time, but when I get confronted with a microphone, I'm going to freak out. Amazing. Go on, you carry on, I can't do it.
What kind of music do you listen to?
I listen to a lot of black music.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of Marvin Gaye, quite like all that. Lots of different types, really, you know. I like the Eagles a lot, you know. I think they're a very good band. But lots of different things, a lot of classical music
uh-huh.
I listen to, you know. It's all different. And we all come from basically very different backgrounds.
Mm. I've had a lot of classical training, went to Royal Academy of Music for about 3 years and studied different theories of classical guitar and mood. So when, you know, all the arrangements on the album, as in Runaways on the last album, were all more or less arranged by Armin because he couldn't write them all out.
Yeah, that's quite good because we can do it ourselves. You know, a lot of bands have to get somebody in to do it, so it isn't really them. You know, they get an outside, you know, 40-year-old, 50-year-old arranger in, and they have to sort of try and make it known what they want to him.
Mm-hmm.
But whereas it's ours, we can do it ourselves, so we know exactly what we want,
yeah,
you know, it within the band.
Self-sufficient.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've enlarged it a little bit more on the next album. In fact, on two tracks we've used, I think it's most of the string section of the London Symphony Orchestra.
Yeah.
And it's a bit of a buzz, actually, when they come up to us afterwards
so
and sort of say to Alan, you know, really enjoyed playing it, you know.
Right.
It seems as if they've sort of played something new as well, you know,
uh-huh.
So they've got something out of it too.
Yeah, the leader basically was really great, John Georgiadis. He's a fantastic guy. He after we did the one session with them for the strings, he came up and listened to all the rock stuff, all the other stuff.
He
was knocked out. He said, "I've been."
Yeah, he said, "Would you send us?" You know, he's right. He gave us a card. He said, "Well, when it's completed, would you send him?"
We
send him one. Yeah.
Yeah. He's been trying to get a sound like that for years.
Yeah.
As well as that, you see, we start to sort of break down a few barriers in between, you know, the classical and the rock thing. I think they've got a little bit more respect for us now, you know, and we've always had respect for those type of people.
Yeah.
And when, you know, when they come again, they'll know, they'll say, "Oh, Babe Ruth, yeah, I remember the last time, it was good." And they'll have a different attitude when they walk into the studio, because maybe they were a bit apprehensive the first time, saying, "Oh no, not another group putting strings down,
mm-hmm.
using us." This time they'll be sort of
with
us.
When I usually write for them, I usually write something that they can get their teeth in there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Usually when you get an arrangement on a band, it should be very, very light. They could have played it when they were at school, but I usually try and make it something that they can really get interested in, and you know, because they all, when they all came in last night, they said, I say, we've never played rhythms like this before, you know, old chap.
What's this, a pint of bitter?
Wonderful. Yeah, mustaches and before he goes down to show, he says, God, what am I supposed to say to him? I mean, they're all pro, you know. You know, it's an incredible feeling, you know, there's such a lot of things
it was great because
at the time.
Yeah, on one particular session, I had one of my old academy professors on the session, you know, one of the violin teachers, and I couldn't believe it. I felt really weird standing out in front of him, telling him what to do, you know, when I was there, you know, and he's like about sort of 60-year-old man, you know. It really gives you a really weird feeling. But it's great, you know, very, very good to you, you know, session guys, it's very encouraging, yeah. But the rock guys have gone, you know, like the sax player, we've got the greatest sax player in England, you know, as far as I'm concerned, mate. Steve Gregory, he's really good, he's played some sax and some flute on.
He came over here last year with Ginger Baker's band Salt, they did a Buddy Miles tour, and he's played with a lot of good people in England. He's done a few things with the offshoot of the Mark Arman band, and he's very, very good.
Oh, he's an amazing musician. He plays some flute as well on the album, which is really nice.
We picked up an amazing Venezuelan conga player that could hardly speak a word of English.
Yeah,
we got him down from out. See, in London itself, there's amazing sort of club scene with peoples from. There's a lot of West Indian immigrants, and that's the sort of people that I've been hanging about with for the last couple of years.
So Osubisa got together.
Yeah,
we got together.
Yeah, that's right. And I know a few of those guys, and they're all hung around the same sort of circuit of clubs, and there's a particular band called Gonzales in London that comprises these musicians, and every night the band's different, but the sound is always the same. And all these people have got to know us, you know, and they sort of pop in and listen to sort of things we're doing, because Steve Gregory, the sax player, is one of the members.
Mm-hmm.
And we've just been having a ball with all these people, and I really wish that sort of some of the people over here could get a chance to hear some of these guys. There's a band just started up in England which sort of incorporates West Indian steel pan playing with a rock rhythm section, and it's really, I think it's going to catch on in England. It sounds very exciting. It's got the younger brother of Osubisa's keyboard player playing drums, and he's playing some amazing stuff, you know, and we all sort of try and get down to these clubs when we can and have a few drinks. It gets better and better as that goes on. When we've had enough, we even try and venture up the stage with it. But there is a thriving sort of music scene.
It's very interesting to get into a musical circle like that. Not many people do. You know, so it's good to play with a lot of people, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically, you learn a lot from each other.
And there's no viciousness in it.
It's all
lots of friendship, and everyone
is
interested in what other people are doing, you know?
Yeah.
And there's, you know, they always understand what you're trying to do and see it for what it is, instead of sort of, you find a lot of bands get hung up, and I mean, I've even been guilty of it myself sometimes. You get a prejudice because deep down it's a competition, you know, because of the business side becomes a competition. But this thing is, with this set of people that we've sort of got to know, this has been broken down, all this sort of competition thing, and it's one big family, you know. And in fact, we've had a lot of nice things from local bands we've played with as well in the States. Like we really dig certain types of music, and we come across it and we flip over it, and then we get knocked out because they see something in us that maybe we don't see. And the whole thing, you know, American bands have been really nice.
Who's some of the American bands you've gotten to hear?
Well, it's not really sort of the touring bands so much as some of the bands and some of the clubs we've played.
Yeah.
And they've been turning out some great stuff. All right, they're not playing their own material. But the musicians are there, you know.
Yeah,
and
Texas
really nice.
Is one band I played with.
Yeah,
they were just in town.
Very complimentary, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Yeah, they've been on the Three Dog Geese, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They've been very good, you know. Very helpful to us. Make you feel at home, you know what I mean?
We haven't really had much chance to talk to Three Dog Night because there's a whole sort of thing encircling them, you know. Sort of a security thing. And like, I suppose it puts us a little... We don't like to feel like, you know... must talk to them. I'm sure if we met them like out of the situation, we could rap with them and get on with them fine. But the whole entourage that sort of surrounds it, the whole business thing, makes it impossible.
That's the trouble with a lot of bands today. They get on this big, can't get through to them. You know, they get so involved in their own particular syndrome or their own, what would be the word? Image, that they forget who they are. And they think that when people come up to talk to them, they're doing them a favour by talking to them, instead of just getting down and enjoying each other for what you are.
It's probably drummed into them, you see, because they've already painted their picture. Now they've got to stick to it, because it's a happening thing.
But then they start really believing it, and that's what's such a frightening thing.
See, we're very conscious of what could happen if we break big, and we're also very conscious of keeping our feet planted firmly on the ground if anything does break for us. Because there's a lot of sort of, there's not much reality about once you get onto a certain level. Like walking up and down Sunset Street was an amazing experience for us, because it's like a set of a film, and it's not real. And we feel as people we've got to have something to hold on to. We've got to have a reality at all times, you know. And you mustn't forget the people, you just mustn't.
Yeah, the people have been really good, most of the kids have been fantastic, you know. Yeah. Over one stage in the mock concert in Indianapolis, when we this particular place, we had to walk through the audience. You know, there was not very, very sort of, we had to come around the side of the stage, and when we came off, we had all these people shaking their hands and things, and it took us about half an hour to get from the dressing room.
When they shake your hand, they really
do mean it, you know. It's nice.
It's a grip. And you feel,
it's worth it.
In fact, if we give a substandard show, whether it sounds good out front or not, we feel quite guilty about it. The way they, you know, we've got to try and match their enthusiasm.
And we did that night.
Yeah. You can't fail.
Yeah. Certain amount of sort of excitement about Babe Ruth at the moment, around, I think, in America, you know, everybody's sort of completely excited about it. Which all makes us feel good, you know. So, you know, just hope it does something good, you know.
Even the whiskey with its facade was slightly cracked when we went on, and they sort of, we made a lot of friends at that club, actually.
Yeah.
We did, and it, you know, I won't be bugged about that there, and I've heard a lot of adverse stories about the whiskey a go-go, you know, how it's a big scene. But it wasn't as bad as it was painted. In fact, it was pretty good. It was hard work, you know. But we were quite surprised, you know, to make such a load of friends. You know, it's like another base now. Quite nice when we go back. It'll be much better because we know a few people this time. Next time, maybe we'd like a bit more time off so we can see some acts that we've been wanting to see. Up the road, the Temptations were playing in a little club. You know?
Saturday night.
And we couldn't get in to see him because we were working.
Yeah. About 100 yards away, all these great players.
Yeah. It's nice that we want to see these bands playing in their own environment, because when they come over to England, it's a different show.
Mm-hmm. It was just this past week in Chicago, the Allman Brothers were here.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, wow.
Grateful Dead. Lavishnu Orchestra.
Incredible.
All in one week. All these great bands. You know
Herbie Hancock.
Herbie Hancock. Is he still on the sextet?
He was just played last night. His last night. The Quiet Night.
The Quiet Night.
Mm-hmm.
Where is that place?
That's on Belmont.
I love that.
It's
close to here.
It is close.
Not far. That would be a good place for you to play.
There's no Point Brown Shoes.
That's not around anymore.
It's not right. It's extinct. But the Quiet Night. And the
they were used to play at the Quiet Night.
Oh, it's great.
You know, they had, they're doing rock there now. They had a German rock group over there, Epitaph.
No,
heard of them?
Don't know them.
And they're getting into jazz and things.
Yeah, I'd love to see the Mahavishnu sometime.
Yeah, Mahavishnu play there too.
Yeah,
the Quiet Night.
They're with someone else.
Tony Williams.
I
want
to see Chick Corea's band, because when they were in England, I was out of town.
Yeah.
I want to see Aerta Maria.
Chick's new record just came out.
Yeah.
It's very good.
I'd like to catch that before I go home. gave out at some record store.
Like, we were amazed last night. We went down and sort of went to the club and we're parking the car in this record shop. He's opening. It's 1:30 in the morning. It's still open. We couldn't believe it because everything closes at, was it 6 o'clock in England or something? And I was blown out that a store could be open for so late.
Yeah, that's great.
We're certainly learning a few new things coming out here. I think it's going to be very difficult for us to accept certain things when we get back to England, especially the food, because I tell you, you people can really eat.
Yeah.
Incredible. So much food.
Oh,
I've never eaten so much in all my life since I've been to France. You eat even more.
Close to Alba.
Hey?
Looks like it's almost there.
What do you just take that cartridge in?
It's a little
about
5 minutes.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Right. Can you straight through to the radio, or is it just going, is it, you take that and you put it in the radio?
Well, I dub it to reel to reel.
Yep, do you?
And then edit it.
Edit it.
Yeah.
Can't edit that.
Yeah, it will swell right there.
I haven't been too many. I probably haven't been 70, actually, have I?
No, it's very clean. He hasn't got
very clean. Oh.
Not out. Swear words don't make it.
Edward's on Braless badge.
How's the music scene in England at the moment? What do you see happening?
There's a little bit of a lull at the moment. You know, I think I feel well. I can't remember because it seems like we've been here for years. You know,
mm-hmm.
Sort of like as if we're sort of part of America now rather than England.
There's more. I think there's more happening over here than there is at the moment
yeah.
in England. There's
like
me
Rose,
personally, yeah. me personally, I think England's just going through a complete self-destructive phase musically.
Yeah.
Like cutting down everything and so
on. True, yeah. There is a very much a self-destruct element goes on in England. You know, in which a band gets a new band starts, and there's a hell of a lot of interest, and the whole industry seems intent on building this band up to enormous proportions. Letting them ride for a bit, wait until they start to drop slightly, and then put the knife in, and helping them on the way down. It's
mm.
that sort of thing, you know.
Yeah. It's a shame.
Hence another sort of reason why it's very important to keep your feet on the ground and sort of have a sense of reality, because you can get carried away on the up, and the down is a lot harder to take. You know?
And hence the reason for all the good name British bands. Always coming back over here because the
more
reactions,
places to play.
Yeah, they got so
more
much
places
more
to play, and more reaction is
yeah.
more warm.
We got so
yeah.
much more to give,
yeah.
you know, the American people. Because once a band reaches a certain stage, there's only about 10 gigs in England which they can do. Like if you get to the
uh-huh.
say the Who, to that stage, or the Faces, you know, there's about 10 gigs which they can do in England. About you know in the major cities,
uh-huh.
which are big enough to take an audience to take them, you know. And they're finding now that there just isn't any more places anymore, you know, to play that.
It's just so sad, you know, it's almost, it breaks me heart to see Britain, you know, Britain almost like killing themselves that way, because if they just wake up and realise what they're doing to themselves, maybe they, you know, think twice about it.
Yeah, the fans
it,
are getting very cool, you know, they're getting
yeah.
very, very, very laid out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, also among the sort of musician thing, because it's a small country, because there's only one real major city where all the business is carried out. I suppose in a way, musicians live in a bit of fear and they desperately want to hang on to their gig because if they lose it, it's hard to find another one. I mean, I've gone through quite a few difficult scenes when I've been in between jobs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In between engagements,
resting in between engagements. And I've done a few sort of unsavoury jobs like working for the government and cleaning people's flats, polishing the gnomes in the garden. And I think people, I mean, I don't particularly want to go back to that. So that's why I'm nice to these people. Now, and the thing is, it's because it's smaller, you know, there's less opportunity in England. And I suppose in a way that's why a lot of bands that come over here, you know, go down very well because they've really worked at their thing, because it's very difficult in England, because you can imagine thousands and thousands of bands in a small country where the gigs are not so plentiful.
Yeah.
You can imagine that the standard has got to be particularly high, you know, especially as presentation, because
it's getting to a point where you've got to really have something to communicate to an audience. You can't just go on up there and say, well, this is our music, and if you like it, great. If not, you can go. Because you can't think that way anymore. It's got to be, you know, every gig is important, no matter who turns up. You've got to give your best, because it's tight. And that's why it's so nice to come over here with the atmosphere. Maybe we don't see America's hang-ups, because we're seeing it from a different point of view. But it's like an easier atmosphere. You go out and you're given a good feeling before you start. Maybe it's because we're from the other side of the tracks.
Yeah.
But, you know, we lose a certain amount of hang-ups that we've got in Britain because we're over here. And people are really genuinely sort of pleased to see us. I don't know what I'm talking about, and finally wiped that from the tape.
Thank you.
No more curried eggs for me.
Your turn, Chris.
Well, exhausted everything.
Bar bill. I was a bar bill.
All I can say is just repeat what I said before, is that people were telling us about there's going to be a lot of tensions, to be prepared for tensions on a long tour, you know? Especially first tour, you know? And the fact that people would be sort of, it'll be such a fast pace and everything, but really, you know, apart from the travelling, it's been very, not half as sort of, you know, a rat race as what it was going to be, you know? Yeah. Which is great.